Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 16. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, If ye become peaceably unto me to help me, my heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would help me today to minister exactly what you have said to me. God, keep me on the straight and narrow today. Lord, that I would just say what you want me to say and not anything else except what you want me to say today. Lord, we just ask that you would open our ears so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. We give you thanks and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. David, at this point in his life in 1 Chronicles, has been through a lot of wilderness. He's been through a lot of struggles and a lot of battles at this point in his life. He's gone through a lot of warfare and he's won a lot of battles, but he's not reached his destiny yet. He's not yet got to his point of destiny. What's his destiny? Well, you see, when he was a young man, the man of God came to his house and anointed him with oil and prophesied over him that he would be the king of the 12 tribes. And he's not got there yet. He's not old. He's seen giants fall, you know. He's seen miracles and done a lot of wonderful things God has through him. But he's not gotten to his destiny yet. Folks, let me tell you, there is a destiny that God has for each of us. There is a plan. There is a dream. There is a goal for each one of us. And I believe our ultimate destiny, the ultimate goal, the ultimate dream, the ultimate destiny for each of us is one of these days we'll see face to face our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, and we will stand before Him. And that's our ultimate goal and our ultimate destiny that we keep working towards. Now, we know that it is settled in Jesus Christ, right? If we believe His promise, that if we trust in Him, if we believe in Him, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we know that our destiny, David as a young man, Samuel anointed him with oil as a representation of the Holy Spirit, and God's prophecy on him was that he would be king over all the tribes. He's not made it there yet. Folks, I'm telling you that my Lord has touched and anointed us with the Holy Spirit and said, one of these days you'll be kings and rulers and judges, and one of these days you will reign on high with the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of these days we're going to get there. But right now, we go through battles, and we go through struggles, and we go through wilderness, and sometimes we see giants rise up, and we see victory over those giants. But then, why do we go back into the wilderness? Why do we keep fighting? Why do we keep struggling? And we stand on faith in the things that the Lord has told us and promised us, but sometimes it seems like the promise tarries. And we receive vision from God, and we see, I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be well, I'm going to have a better job, my church is going to grow, our church is going to grow and go forward and move on. And then we see, you know, why do we keep battling it? Why do we keep struggling so much? We're trying to stand on faith and believe the promises of God. That's why I love to read about David so much. Because David is one of those choice people in Scripture that the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. Yet David had struggles, and he had failures, and he was human, and he messed up. And yet God still was there for David. God still ministered in David's life. God never gave up on David. Let me tell you something. God never gives up on us. Amen. God never gives up on us. He's there for us when we blow it, when we mess up, when we sin, when we don't live up to our potential. God is there for us. This morning, my thought that the Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about is becoming the army of God. Becoming the army of God. And I got up this morning earlier than I normally do because I wanted to pray about this, because I feel like the enemy has just, this is the message God gave me, but the enemy has really been opposing me on this this morning. And so I ask that you continue to pray for me as I endeavor to bring this to you this morning. You see, David needed some help to get to the place where he was trying to go to. He was fighting for his survival. You'll read about David when it seems like the whole nation was against him. You'll read about David when the king had sent the entire army out after him. When he's got, the crack troops of King Saul that are out searching for him. You'll find about times when he's hiding in the cave and the very man that's searching for him comes walking into the cave where he's hiding. You'll see times in David's life when he is in the wilderness. There's times when he has to go over to the land of the Philistines because of the warfare and the search for him that's going on. And can you ever identify with David? Because sometimes I can and say, man, it just seems like the harder I try to do right, the more things seem to stack up against me. Have you ever been there? The more I try to follow God's will, the harder it seems to get to just get by in my day-to-day life. Folks, that's a common thing in the human condition. The enemy comes against us, and he fights against us. And so sometimes we find ourselves like David, and we need some help. Now, in this story, you see where David is there, and here comes a troop of people. Here comes a troop of people up his way. And it says there's people from Judah and there's people from Benjamin. And you see what David goes out and David says, I just want to know why y'all are here. Are you here to help me? Or are you here against me? Because I just really need to know. I've had people who were supposed to help me that have turned against me, and I've had people against me, and I struggle and I fight. It's not enough that I've got the king against me. Where do you stand? Where are you at? Are you here to help me? If you're here to help me, then I'll receive you. But if you're here against me, then God rebuke you. Huh. What do you think's going on here in this passage of Scripture? David needed an army, some mighty men, to move the nation from hiding in the stronghold in the wilderness to living in the palace. God's strategy for Lake Hamilton Assembly of God to take us from trying to survive to walking in abundance is what I want to talk to you about today. From trying to survive, how are we going to make it another week? How are we going to make it another month? What's going to happen next? What's the next shoe that's going to drop? Where did that saying even come from? But you know what it means, right? You're just tired of hearing bad news. What's the next shoe that's going to drop? There are times as a pastor when I dread to answer the phone because it seems like every phone call has been something that you didn't want to hear. Can you relate? You know, there's times when you see an email and you're afraid to open it up and look at it because what's the bad news this time? I want to tell you, folks, that we may get into those periods of time as a church family and say, how much more can we possibly handle, Lord? How much more can possibly go backwards before we start to move forward? That's why I feel like God has given me this message. Number one, for us as a church family, but secondly, for each of you as individuals, if you'll take these principles that we're going to talk about today and operate in them, God, it may not be today and it might not be tomorrow, but God will take you from the place where you are struggling to the place where you are overcoming by His might and through His power. Your feet will be on the path that is is ordered by God, amen, and your steps will be in the right direction, and God will bring up the low places and lower down the high places and make straight the path for those who endeavor to follow Him and to walk after the Lord. Here's what we got to do, though. The first thing is you've got to operate in your gifts. Physically, you've got to operate in your gifts. The things that God has given you the ability to do, do. Amen. I got one yeah on that. All right. The things that God has given you the ability to do, then do them. You know, years ago, the athletic company Nike came out with a slogan years ago, just do it. You know, I think that we ought to plaster that in our churches. Not the Nike logo, but the words, just do it. The things that you know to do, the things that you can do, do them. Are you doing what you know to do? Are you doing what you're able to do? So many times people will come to me and say, well, Pastor, I just don't know what I can do. I just don't know what the answer is. I just don't know. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't feel like I'm contributing anything. And I began asking them, what are you doing? And you'll find out that what they are doing is they're worrying, and they're worried about what I'm doing or what their Sunday school teacher's doing or what their deacons are doing or what the youth pastor's doing. But they're not really doing much themselves except worrying about what other people are doing. That's why I said I was a little bit worried about preaching this. Because ever right now, there's five of you that are thinking, who's he upset at today? I guarantee you. Oh, six. I'm just simply trying to bring to you right now what God gave me this week to bring to you. When you look around and you say, you see, I had a phone conversation with my boss this week. I was talking with my boss, our district superintendent, this week. He wanted to know how things were going at Lake Hamilton Assembly of God. And I said, brother, the first year that I was here, we were in a season of growth, and we added about 20 new members to the church. I said, in the second year that I was here, we've been adding to the membership of other churches. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I've sent some to First Assembly and some to National Park and some to Lakeview. And, I know enough to know that when the church goes through different seasons, folks began wondering, oh, what are we going to do? Well, if that one leaves and this one leaves and that one's gone, what are we going to do? What I'm going to do is learn to trust in the Father who has created and called and ordained this church and planted it here, that He's not going to let it fail. But the first thing that I've got to do is to do what I can do. The first thing you've got to do is to do what you can do, what God has given you the ability to do. Let me tell you right now, every one of you in this place can read and meditate on God's Word. Are you doing what you can do? You can read the Word and you can meditate on the Word and you can pray the Word of God. The second thing that everybody in this room can do is you can pray, you can pray, you can pray. If you can't do anything else, you can pray. You can read your Bible and you can pray. Oh, well, I'm just not long-winded. That's all right. Jesus said, don't pray in vain repetition as the heathens do, but make your request known unto the Lord. It's not about do you pray and pray and pray. It's about are you just entering into that closet and spending the amount of time that you need to spend in the closet. Are you doing the things that you've been created to do? But there's others of you that are created and able to do more than read your Bible and pray. There's others of you that have gifts that you can use in the church. You can be an encourager. You can be a writer of notes. You can be a composer of emails and text messages. You can be a phone caller who can call and check on folks instead of just looking around and saying, well, I don't know why so-and-so ain't here today, and I don't know why so-and-so ain't here today, and I sure don't know. I wonder if the pastor's following up on so-and-so. Let me tell you, all I'm saying is you can call that person or stop by their house or send them a card, and you don't have to say, well, I just want to know why you, in fact, if all you know to say is, well, why wasn't you in church, just don't call them. Just don't. Okay? But if you can just send them a note or a message or a phone call and just say something like, I noticed you weren't there and I missed you and I'm praying for you, And let that be that. And if they want to talk to you some more, they will. But just to be an encourager, my goodness, I have been on the other end and I have been out of church and I have looked around and said, I miss church today, and not a single person call me or check on me or wonder why I was there. Oh, well, that's just juvenile and that's just foolish and you shouldn't feel that way. That's just the old man. That's just the flesh in us, right? And then I've had other people that said, I wish they'd just leave me alone. I'm a grown man. I'll show up at church whenever I get ready to, and you ought to be happy to see me come. And if I'm not there, don't worry about it. If there's anything wrong, I'll let you know. That's just one of those things that pastors, we get to walk down that narrow path and try to figure out who wants to be petted and who wants to be left alone. And so thank the Lord for discernment. But I'm not asking you to call somebody and say, I just want to know why you missed Sunday school this morning. You should have been in Sunday school. Why weren't you there? That's doing more harm than it is good. But if you call them and say, hey, I just noticed you were gone. We miss you when you're not there, and I'm praying for you. That's all it needs. And then if they want to say, well, the kids were sick or my car was broke down or something like that, that's fine. And if they don't want to tell you anything and just say, well, thank you, that's it. That's fine. You've planted a seed. You've done a work. Oh, Pastor, I'm afraid to get off into that area. All I'm telling you is this. If you, let's move into your area. Maybe you're just struggling. Let's not even talk about the church. Let's talk about you as an individual. Maybe you're struggling. I prayed for a guy one time for years who was struggling terribly with diabetes. And we'd pray with him. And then we'd have a church fellowship, and he'd eat more junk and sugary stuff than I did. And then he'd pray and want God to heal him from diabetes. Can I tell you that he was not doing everything that he could do? Do you understand what I'm following? Where I'm going here? If you got high blood pressure and you still eat and don't exercise, all that stuff you're not supposed to do, and then you're saying, oh, God, heal me of this blood pressure problem. Hello, God gave you some gray matter between your ears. You do what you can do. I am getting nowhere with you folks this morning when I'm talking about high blood pressure and diabetes. But I think it's just kind of ridiculous that if you've got some type, I'm dying of emphysema, but give me another cigarette and pray that God heals my emphysema. Why don't you ask for God's help to lay down your nasty habit, and then when you give that to God, he just very well may take your lung cancer and your emphysema and bring healing to your body. Oh, I'm just so addicted to the television. I just watch television. Hey, maybe you need to unplug it, take it, put it in the garage for a little while until God gives you the victory over that thing, and ask God to help you to be where are we going, Lord? I'm just telling you, sometimes the reason that you're fighting and out there in the wilderness and struggling with some things is because you need to get a grip, to use a line from last week, and realize you're not doing everything you're supposed to do. You're not standing in faith and calling those things that are not as though they are. Huh? You're not laying aside every sin and the weights that so easily, or every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and running with patience the race that is before us. You're out here dabbling around in all kinds of stuff that brings doubt and discouragement and fear and sin, and opens the door for the devil. And then you wonder why you can't get excited about coming to church on the weekend. I just wonder why. I just don't know, I don't know why. My goodness. Physically, are you doing everything that you're supposed to do? Instead of complaining about why something isn't getting done, get busy and do it yourself. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Don't get offended if somebody else does something that you think is your job. Ooh, that's good preaching. Preacher, say that again. Don't get offended if somebody else does something that you think is your job. Brother Beard, if somebody shows up on Sunday... If somebody shows up on Sunday and they're standing out there handing out bulletins, don't be offended. Say, praise God, I've been looking for somebody to help me with that. If somebody else jumps up to take up the offering when you were getting ready to get up, we'll say, God bless them, we need more ushers in this church. Now, if somebody gets up here to preach on Sunday, I'm going to have a problem with that. But, but you know what I'm speaking of. We've got Sunday school teachers, and we've got areas in the church that we need some help. I have found some folks are so reticent to do anything at church because they say, oh, well, that's Sister Shout-A-Lot's job, and I don't want to cause any problems, and I'm not going to do that. But Sister Shout-A-Lot hadn't been doing that job in a long time. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Yes, you do. You're just afraid to say amen. Oh, well, I just don't want to do that because, you know, Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so used to do that. This is not about our kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. And we, in order to row this old boat of Zion forward a little ways further, we've all got to pull together. We've all got to work together. We've all got to move together. And sometimes we need some help. Sometimes we need to work and do what you're able to do. Amen. The second thing is spiritually. Do what you're able to do. Even more important than physically doing the things you're supposed to do, or spiritually doing the things that you're supposed to do. Every believer needs to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. If you don't have a gift, then you need to ask for a gift. Because the Bible says that God gives us all gifts in the Spirit. Differing among us as He chooses to, He gives gifts by the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have a gift. Maybe you just haven't discovered it or unleashed it yet. And if you haven't discovered your gift, then you need to talk to the Lord about what your gift is. Some have the gift of encouragement. Let me tell you, some have the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Some have various gifts of the Spirit, but there are a bunch of them. Oh, I could call a guy, this guy told me one time in church, in an assembly church, he told me, I've got the spiritual gift of horse trading. What? Oh yeah, years ago I was at a place and they prayed for me. And now, boy, I can buy and sell and he was dead set serious. I said, I don't find that in the Bible. He said, oh, well, I've got the gift of horse trading. I've got the gift, man. I can find those bargains. I said, so when you do this, when you go out and you buy something and you sell it and you make money on it, you're giving that money to the church, right? Because it's your spiritual gift. Well, oh no. No, God's blessed me with that. Oh, wow. You know, Lord, I don't understand. People twist things around sometimes. What I'm telling you is this. You may have a gift of worship. You may have the gift of intercession. You may have the gift of giving. You may have administration or helps. You see, you may be able to look at something and have the gift of faith. And where somebody like your pastor maybe is struggling because he's not finding the answers, maybe you've got the gift of faith. You can come alongside your pastor and say, come on, buddy, we're going to look at this thing as God sees it. And you keep going. You keep doing what you know to do is right, and God is going to take care of things. Maybe you can encourage your Sunday school teacher or your mama or your daddy, or encourage yourself. Operate in your spirits. David says in this passage of Scripture that he needed somebody to help him, right? He said, I have got to have some help here. I need some help. He speaks a blessing on those that are here to help, but a rebuke to those that are not helping. Folks, let me tell you, there's a blessing for those that are helping. And there's a rebuke, not from the preacher. There's a rebuke for those that are not helping. I believe God blesses those that help. And I believe that God rebukes those that work against. Huh? I want to be on the blessing side, amen? I want to help. I want to help. We're here to help. Amen. I want to help and do what God wants to do. So the second question is, are you here to help? You see, I've been called by God to lead this church as the pastor, but like David, I got to have some help. I've got to have the army of God with me. I don't need to hear, Pastor, the Lord will help you do it. I know He does. But what I need is some of you with flesh on to help. Amen? Huh? I hear, oh, we got to have some help here and we got to have some help there. And I think, I don't know how much more thin I can spread the youth pastor. I don't know how many more things I can give him to do. I don't know how many more things I can ask Brother Doug to do, or Brother Jim to do, or Brother Beard to do. I don't know how many more things I can ask for Mike and Lynn to do. I just don't know how many more things I can ask. What I'm saying is, church, it's time that if we want to see our church bursting forward and moving ahead and running over the devil instead of feeling like it's been run over, it's time that we all say, I can help. Lord, I'm here to help. I'll do what I can do in my physical gifts and in my spiritual gifts to help. I want to help. You see, the Lord is in you. So the question is, are you here to help? How does this apply to me outside the church, Pastor? I know we got guests and visitors here today. How does this apply to me outside the church? I'm telling you, as you follow God's will, you can't expect God to just do everything in your life. Amen. You've got to do what you can do, and God will do what you cannot do. Amen. Are you here to help? Are you here to help? You see, if you're struggling and you're going through a season of problems in your life as an individual, what you need to do is you need to begin calling out to God after you've done what you're physically able to do. Once you're involved in what you're spiritually able to do, you need to call out to the Lord for some Judas and some Benjaminites, some Judahites and some Benjaminites that are coming to help. Lord, I need some help. I'm struggling. I need some good Christian friends. I need some good influencers on my life. I need some prayer partners on my life. I need some armor bearers in my life. I need somebody to help me in my life. God, I need some help. I'm doing everything that I know to do. I'm doing everything I hear you asking me to do. I'm doing everything I know the Word wants me to do. Now, God, give me some help. So often, we just get our little feelings hurt and we sit down and we say, well, God, somebody else has just got to do this because I just can't handle it. I can't do it anymore. And God says, get yourself up and continue to move forward and trust me, and I will lift you up. I will strengthen you. Who are you preaching to? The teenagers this morning, preacher? I can't believe you're talking to us adults like that. Come on now. I want to just tell you this morning, folks, I honestly have to sometimes let the Lord tell me this same thing. You get up and quit your belly aching. We went to visit a guy one time. I said, quit your belly aching. We pulled up in his garage and he said, you see what that says above the door? And there was this big long word that he had engraved in a wooden plaque above the door.
One of the amazing things to me.
What? I don't know. Is that some kind of German word
is
or what?
Is that God?
Says, no, look, it says,
when he saves
quit
us,
your belly aching. And
he
had it all run together in one word.
Will.
He said, I got that up there for me.
And
so I'll see that every day when I'm walking back into my house. Quit
your
belly aching. Quit your belly aching.
It's God's will.
Do what you need to do. Do what you can do. And then when you're working, when you put your hand to the plow, when you're working in the kingdom of God, then I believe we can expect some help.
You see, as a pastor, I've left churches when I wasn't supposed to because it was my will.
And as a result of leaving a church when I wasn't supposed to, I went to a church that I wasn't supposed to because it was my will. Let me tell you, I suffered because I left that church that I wasn't supposed to leave. And at the next place, me and that church suffered because I wasn't supposed to be there. What? Oh, well, Pastor. Well, I believe I learned that lesson. I believe. But every day that I get up, every day that I go to the Lord in prayer, you see, there's times when I find out stuff's going on and I want to just double up my fist and go talk to somebody, and as I've jokingly said with you before, and just lay my Holy Ghost down for a minute, and I want to be self-willed in that. And you do too. Sometimes at the grocery store, you just want to slap somebody in the face, you know? You just want, come on, you know? Sometimes my wife comes home from shopping for groceries and she's so upset because she separates things as she puts them on the conveyor belt the way she wants them sacked up, and they just dump them all together, and she comes home and the bread's flat because they put it in there with a gallon of milk and all that, you know. And she, I just wish they'd get somebody that could sack up groceries, you know. I say, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. You're standing there going towards, you ever been there? You're pushing your buggy towards the checkout lane, and somebody comes running up there and turns the corner on two wheels, and they got stuff stacked up, you know. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we want to handle things in our own will. Sometimes we want to jerk somebody up by the scuff of the neck and give them a come to Jesus right now meeting. And when what God really wants us to do is to just pray for them and be loving and kind towards them and swallow that self-will so that we can see the will of the Father. Let me tell you, there were times when those people who came against Jesus, when he ought to just taken his hand and just slapped them in the face for the things that they said. You read your Bible. The things that they said to him and the things that they were doing, man, he should have just taken up his fist and just knocked them in the kisser. They were blaspheming God. They were saying things about him. But what did he do? He submitted to the Father's will. He bowed out. He kept his mouth silent. He said, my time is not yet come. Because he knew that his destiny was to be lifted up on an old rugged cross and to die there for my sin and for your sin so that we could be free. There's times when the things you really want to do in your flesh may be the most expedient for that moment, but they're not the best for the overall outcome. Well, I'll just tell you right now what I'd do. I'd just shoot off my mouth right now and I'd just tell them, yeah. And that's the reason sometimes we're in such problems that we get into, because we haven't learned how to control the old man and submit to the will of God. You can't help unless you're in God's will. You see, if God wants you teaching Sunday school and you're not doing it, you may try to do five other jobs in the church, but until you get in God's will, you're not going to be helping. You'll be in the wrong spot. God's will may be for you to be out knocking doors and inviting people that you know to come to church with you and trying to find folks that are struggling and ministering to them, but you're not doing that, and until you do God's will, you're not helping. Huh? God's will may be for you to step up to the plate as a tither, but you're standing back saying, I just don't see how I can do it. I just don't know how I can make it. I don't know how I can tithe and survive in this world. And you are not in God's will until you step up and trust God by faith and do it. Anybody believe that other than me? God's will may be for you to do something that you're not doing. God's will may be for you to, I just don't know about that. You need to pray and seek God. You know, my Bible says, I've already made so many friends, I might as well make one more. My Bible says, for him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is. Well, that just means I know to read my Bible, and that's right, and so if I don't do it, it's a sin. Or I know to pray, or I know to, if you know to do right and you do it not, it's a sin. According to the Bible, not according to Travis A. George. So what does that mean? If I know that it's right to pray for people, if I know that it's right to encourage people, if I know that it's right to see a need in my church that's not being met and to step up and see what I can do to meet that need, he didn't just say that, did he? If I can see that there's something in my church that needs to be done and it's not being done, and I just don't, Lord Jesus. That's preaching condemnation, brother, and you're just meddling with stuff now that you ought to leave alone. That's why I've struggled, I guess, with this message this week, because I'm afraid of how it's going to be received today. But sometimes the Lord has to take out the belt and give me a whipping in order to get my attention, and sometimes as a pastor, I've got to preach a hard message that I would rather have come out to you today and told you that God just loves you and he smiles and his face is looking at you, and guess what? He does. But I'm talking about how we're going to move our church to the next level, how you're going to take your life to the next level. You've got to do physically what you can, spiritually what you've been gifted to do, and then you've got to make sure that you're in God's will. If you're not in God's will, then you need to get there, and it's easy to do. Are you equipped to help? You can't maximize your potential until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, I could go out, well, maybe not me because I don't know how, but someone could go out and re-roof a house with a hammer and tacks. Shingles, lay it out. I've seen it done. You've seen it done. You know it's possible. But somebody could take a nail gun and get it done a whole lot easier and a whole lot faster, I could go out back with an axe and chop down a tree and get it done. I'd probably have to take a couple of rest breaks before I got it done, but we could get it done, right? Or I could go out back and fire up Pastor Stephen's power saw and have it down in about 3 minutes or so. What are you trying to talk about, Pastor? You can work in your power and struggle and be tired and be wore out, or you can receive the power that God has available through the Holy Ghost and work in God's power and get the work done according to God's power. Why would you do it with a hammer when you can do it with a nail gun? And that's even a terrible example, because God's power working through us is far greater than a hammer to an air gun difference. It's the power of an infinite God working in us to accomplish what we couldn't do any other way. But I'm telling you today, you need to receive the power of God. Amen. That's all point number one. What was point number one? Operate in your gifts. Here we go to number two. If you'll operate in your gifts, God will grant you favor and fervency. Let's go back to the scripture. It's been a while since I read it. There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. So David went out to meet them, and he answered and said, "If you are peaceably come to me, my heart is knit unto you. But if you are come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hand, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it." Then the Spirit came on Amasai, the captain, a chief of the captains, and he said, "David, we're on your side, you son of Jesse. Peace. Peace be to you, and peace be to your helpers, for God helpeth thee." So David received them and made them captains of the band. And there fell some of Manasseh to David. And when he came to the Philistines unto Saul the battle, they helped them not. For the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent him away, saying, "He will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads." And he went to Ziklag. There fell to him Manasseh, Adnah, and Jozabad, and Jediel, and Michael, and Jozabad, and Elihu, and Zilphi, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. And they helped David against the bands of rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host. And at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host, like the host of God. You see, God sent Benjamin and Judah to help David. Benjamin means son of my right hand. The right hand was a position of favor. God will send the Spirit of favor on those who are helping. Pastor, where are you drawing this from? From a story in the Old Testament. The New Testament tells us, and I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, that these things happen to them in the old to be spiritual examples to us in the new. Benjamin, the name, means son of my right hand. Folks, let me tell you, if you want to operate in God's favor, be a helper. Be a helper. If you don't think, I want everybody to pay attention to what I'm about to say right now, because I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. If you don't think that I'm leading this church the way that it needs to be led, if you can't get in and help me as the pastor, then there's a major problem. I need your help, right? Thank God for a good church. But I needed to say that. If you can't help, if you can't move in the direction, well, what direction are we going? What are we doing? What's going on? We're talking about getting outside the box. We're talking about reaching out. I'm trying to prepare you. As soon as it gets warm weather, we're going to begin reaching out and doing some things out in the community. And if it's just me and my wife and three kids and Steve and Jessica that shows up, that ain't going to work. Right? We got to pull together. We got to help one another. And if you can't get under the vision, then this church isn't going to grow. And it's not going to go anywhere. But if we can pull together, if we can work together, if we can operate under the flow of the pastor, then we can operate in Benjamin. We can operate under the son of my right hand. We can operate under God's favor when we begin to work together. Well, Pastor, I've just heard better preachers, and I know guys that are better at this and better at that. You want a better pastor? Let me tell you what you can do. Pray for this one right now. Pray for this pastor. Well, we've had youth pastors that had 80 kids here before. You want a better youth pastor? Pray for the one that we've got right here, right now. Because I've got no doubt in any fiber, in any cell, in any brain cell, that this man and his wife are the ones that are supposed to be here for this time right now. I know they're supposed to be here. And so you want, oh, well, when this one was here, they had 100 kids in that room. And when that one was here, well, folks, pray for us. Pray. Stand with us in battle. Be armor bearers for us. We need you. Because as bad as anything, if the devil can hit us as the leaders, then he can scatter the sheep. And so we need help. We need Benjamins. We need son of the right hand to help us find God's favor. What's favor anyway? Favor is anointing. Favor is open doors. Favor is opportunity. Favor is increase. Favor is blessing. Can I just ask you, is there anybody here that wants to operate in the anointing of God? What is the anointing? It's that touch of God that takes a song from just being a good song to being a song that makes you want to jump and shout and holler and say, praise God! Amen. The anointing is that thing that takes your sermon from just being the true word of God to being one of those things that challenges you and that speaks to you and that motivates you to do something that you're not doing, that convicts you of your sin, that draws you to a point of God, that lifts you up all at the same time and can be doing one thing in Steve's mind as it's being preached and another thing in Caleb's mind as it's being preached and yet another thing. How many are here today? The anointing is what takes this preacher's message and helps it do in your life exactly what you need it to do in your life. Amen. How many of you want open doors? Oh man, I want to see our church have open doors. What does that mean? I'm not talking about the doors of the church. I'm talking about when we go out. When we go out there. For open doors for ministry. Open doors for people to hear what we're saying. Open doors for us to pray for the sick and see them get well. Open doors for us to witness about Jesus Christ and see them get saved. Open doors for us to find somebody that'll come along beside us and sit on our pews with us and work here with us. Open doors that'll come along so none of you have to wear 10 different ministry hats out there. So there'll be 10 different people that can wear those ministry hats. The open doors that'll come along and provide opportunity. Didn't I tell you about 4 weeks ago that there was going to be a time that we're entering into a time where the field is open and the corn is ripe? And I said that means opportunity. There's going to be opportunity and it's going to be anointing. I still believe that. There's going to be opportunity. But folks, we need to be ready to seize the opportunity of our lifetime during the lifetime of that opportunity. Let me break that down into something physical so that you'll know what I'm talking about. I heard a few weeks ago that somebody had we still got one of those old TVs that weighs 500 pounds and it's only a 27-inch, screen, but it's one of, you know what I'm talking about, those big ones, right? It's about 8 or 9 years old. I saw an advertisement for a 50-inch flat TV at a really good price. And free shipping. They'll ship it right to your house for that really good price. And I said, that sounds like a really good price. Maybe it's time to buy a new TV. Maybe it's time to come out of, and do something new. And so I thought about it for a few days, and I got busy with other things, and I never talked to Rhonda about it. And let me tell you, We don't ever make big expenditures without talking together and being in agreement about things. And so by the time I finally got around to deciding, well, maybe we ought to do that, I went to look back, and guess what? The sale was over. The sale was over. Oh, my goodness, Pastor, that's so trivial. Yeah, but it illustrates what I'm talking to you about, the spiritual. There are opportunities that come your way spiritually for you to do something. And if you hang around and tarry around and wait around too long, that opportunity will close and God will move on somebody else. Let me show you something spiritually. When I was a young pastor, I was at a pastor's conference at our campground one weekend. And we were there and a message in tongues went forward. And I knew what I was supposed to say. I knew the first three words anyway. God had given me the opportunity to interpret that. And I was in a room full of preachers. And I was just in my first year as a pastor. And I said, oh, God, these guys have been preaching longer than I've been alive. I can't do this. And I wrestled with it for a few minutes. And let me tell you, just a few seconds later, right up from me, a couple of rows up, a man started the interpretation with those exact three words that God had given to me. Number one, it's a learning experience. But number two, I missed a chance to be used by God because I didn't seize the opportunity during the lifetime of the opportunity. I want to operate in God's favor. He sent Judah, Benjamin and Judah. Judah means praise. His symbol is a lion. God wants us to be passionate about the things He's passionate about. I'm going to quit right there. God wants us to be passionate about the things that He's passionate about. Let me tell you something, church. There's a couple of things as I close this up that I can confirm without a shadow of doubt that my God is passionate about. The first one is those people that aren't at church today. My God is passionate about those folks that aren't at church today. Sorry, left my phone on. Well, I tell you, I've been struggling this week. There you go, right at the worst possible moment, there's something like that happen. God is passionate about those people that aren't here. I'm talking about those that are maybe saved, but they're just struggling. They've grown discouraged. They've grown weary. They've gotten out of the habit of doing the right thing. And they've fallen by the wayside. I'm talking about those that could not care less about church. Or if they do want to go to church, it ain't no Pentecostal church they want to go to. I'm talking about the ones that spent every last dime they made this week at a party Friday night or last night on booze or drugs. Spent it all. And they got kids that they're going to have to come to our food pantry this week and get some food because mama and daddy blew it all partying and living up. Guess what? My God is passionate about those people. He's passionate about those that were too sick to come to church today. He's passionate about those that cancer has eaten their body up to the point where they can't go to church and be here anymore. He's passionate about those that have lost their vision and lost their anointing and they've gotten hurt and discouraged and wounded and they're not here. God is passionate about those folks. And if He's passionate about it, I need to be passionate about it. Amen. And you need to be passionate about it. Amen. Can I also tell you, number two, that God is passionate about Lake Hamilton Assembly of God. God loves this place. God loves it. How do you know that, preacher? Because this church was planted in the late 50s. And it continues to be here, and God has continued to send people and pastors and workers, and they've, how'd that pew you're sitting on get here? Did you buy it? I didn't. Most of you didn't. How'd this building get here? Did you build it? I didn't. And many of you that are here didn't. How'd we get a youth center, a family life center down there? Did you build it? Somebody did. How did we get a paved parking lot? How did we get Sunday school literature in here? How did we get a sound system up here? How did we get all the things that we have? Because God is passionate about Lake Hamilton Assembly of God. And if you can't get passionate about Lake Hamilton Assembly of God, find a place that you can be passionate about, because you're not going to be any good to any church unless you get passionate about the church that you're part of. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate right there. But I'm telling you this right now. God cannot build a church on people that are not passionate about the things that God is passionate about. And I am passionate about seeing this. If I wasn't passionate about this church, it would just be enough for me to say, see ya, so long, goodbye. I'm going to go find me a job somewhere counting sheep or something, because, you know, there's just too much sugar for a dime. But it's not. My passion, my heart is to see this church exploding and expanding and growing and moving. And folks, I want to tell you, I want you to burn with passion for this church. So let me go back to you individuals as I finish up. As an individual, are you passionate? Because let me tell you something, God is passionate about you. God doesn't just deal with the church as a whole. God deals with us as unique individuals. Jesus gave a parable where he said the good shepherd would leave the 99 and go back out there in the wilderness where the wolf and the lion and the bear were to search for that one that had gotten separated. Jesus said that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now that talks about universal. That talks about all humanity. For God so loved the world, that's everybody. But then he says, for whosoever. That talks about the individual. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Jesus Christ can be saved. He sent his Son for the whole world to deal with individuals one at a time. God cares about you. He's passionate about you, and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. So what I want to do today is I want to pray for you as a church, as a whole, for that Benjamin anointing, that anointing of the helper, that anointing of favor, the son of the right hand to help. I want to pray for you for that Judah anointing, that anointing of passion, to be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. I don't know how you're going to respond to what I've just preached. I don't know. Maybe that's why, maybe it hasn't been the devil that's been fighting me about this message. Maybe it's been my own fears as a pastor that you wouldn't receive this word very well. I don't know. But I tried to give it up. I tried to go a different direction, and I just could not. I had to say what I've said today. So, church, we come to this moment right now. And I say to you, I want you to be Benjamites, Benjaminites, or however you say that properly, and help. Oh, I need your help. This church needs your help. The kingdom of God needs your help. But secondly, I want to pray that God will put a passion in you, a passion in you for the things that he's passionate about. Amen. Mm. He wants a relationship. He wants us to reach out. He wants us to love one. I could preach a whole other message right there just about what is God passionate about, but it's time to quit, because I've given you enough to digest. So will you stand with me right now all across the room? Dear Lord, I feel so inadequate to preach this type of message today. And God, as I've preached this, I have to trust that you're doing the work that I cannot do. Because God, there's the danger that as you preach a message like this, that folks just fold their arms spiritually and say, I'm not going to receive that. But God, if you can just raise up one Just one Benjamin in this group. Just one Judah in this group. Lord, it's going to move us forward. It's going to encourage. It's going to strengthen. But God, I don't believe I preached this message for one Benjamin. And I don't believe I preached this message for one Judah. I believe you want this church to operate in favor and passion. And that's why you gave this message today.